And we're live. How you doing, Pierce?
I'm doing well, buddy.
All right. Well, today, folks, we have us joining. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mark Clifford.
Good friend, Mark Clifford. We went to high school together. Well, all three of us.
Yeah, did, all yeah. three.
Yep.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. I remember the first time I met Pierce, he wanted my throat.
What?
Yeah, you remember that, you know, little conflict thing.
No, I... Oh!
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that came back to me over at the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Regal 14, I was with Mateo.
Yeah, I was just making fun of Mateo just because,
okay.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have anything against him, but yeah.
That's so strange. It's so weird when you, like, think back on how you met some people. Especially people that you've known for a while.
Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck? How did we meet again? Oh.
Uh-huh. Yes.
All right, how did you guys meet? How did you two meet?
As I remember, it was through the drama program.
Drama program?
Is that how it happened? Yeah, I think that's our best bet right now. So we've got...
Yeah, no, I think,
no
I, met, I, think I met Mark through choir. That was just about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You did choir?
I did choir.
I did choir.
How long? How many semesters? How many years?
I think it was 2 years.
I did 2.5, maybe 3, most of my high school career. And, you know, we got to lollygag a bit.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Do you still sing in the shower?
Man, I sing just about everywhere. Not just in the shower, but, you know. Showers are meant for different things. Lathering up with soap.
Have you ever heard of multitasking, man?
Soothe yourself to a comfortable... Never mind. But anyways, what are we talking about today, Pierce?
Dude, I'm shooting the shit, banging it in the moment. Letting it flow. That's all I've got on my plate for the time being. I'm glad, however, that I have... The company, your guys' company.
No, like everything, you know. It's all about being friends and hanging out, right? Basically all we're doing. But anyways, this morning I was looking some random shit up, and then I think, we had talked about it, and then we'd both read the same article, I guess, and watched the same video about Iceland being overthrown by its government.
No.
The government being overthrown by its people.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Apparently, this has been going on for quite a number of years.
Like 8 years already.
Yeah. Since, 2008?
Eight.
Yeah. So that's...
Sorry, not 8 years, but yeah, it's been since 2008.
Yeah.
It's a good 5-6 years already.
Yeah.
You know, and we're barely hearing about it now.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious what really has been happening, and not because in light of recent events, like what sparked the article? Why did it finally get written about now?
Oh, because they've been trying.
They finally did what?
They finally wrote a constitution.
Okay.
Wrote their own constitution, and they've been saving it. They've been sharing it all over the internet, which. They haven't been covered by CNN here. You know, they've been covered by CNN in Europe and different places, but not here.
Very interesting.
Why do you think that is, though?
Why do I think they haven't shared it on CNN?
Yeah, well, here at least, or they haven't uncovered it that much here.
Who would benefit from that being shared? And it obviously sets an example for... people at large in the audience that would be looking or watching or listening to that, you know, that video, that statement, that news. And perhaps it most certainly might create ripples, effects, and people may think about what it is that they desire in a more positive light and actually get to taking action, I suppose. That's the big fear, right?
Well, I mean, recently, like, in different countries, even, like, here with the whole, with the whole protests from happening in New York and stuff like that, that were happening, and they kind of got kicked out, and, I guess they were trying to do the same thing, only in Iceland, they prevailed. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing.
Yeah, it'd be a really good thing to keep a close eye on for the next several months or however long it takes. Because I'm curious how
based on
things will be affected.
Based on the kind of things I see on Fox and other news programs, there's a lot of Americans who are looking for change in their government, and they don't know exactly who to blame.
But has that always been the case, change. Or is there something in particular going on now?
Like I think now there's a revolution in the idea that we can be led by a rich few who represent a populace that is much poorer or
well, I mean, that's...
I mean, yeah, that's all I'm saying is the upper class has led America for its entire history.
Well, I mean, it also depends because, like, what would you say the people are trying to blame? Like, who, like you said, they're looking for someone to blame. Who do you think they would blame in the first place?
Well, I think it's the curse of the two-party system. I think if you have only one other political party other than your own, then that's who you're going to blame. And it doesn't matter really who's on the wrong side or who is at fault, but that person's party gets blamed invariably. Mm-hmm. It's if you're a liberal, you hate Republicans. If you're a Republican, you hate liberals.
I think that's true, but they're also talking about how democracy there was basically a cover-up, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the government itself was being too corrupt, you know, and they were benefiting too much from the poor class, you know, they're basically keeping poor people poor.
And I think right there is a reason the U.S. doesn't want its citizens to know it, because the U.S. has been doing that for a long time.
Would you say the U.S. is corrupt?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the military-industrial complex, it has grown exponentially since Eisenhower said that's what it could do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at history, we've done nothing but suck the capitalistic power of our nation into our government. And it's not that I think a communistic government would be more effective. I just do not believe the system we have now favors the majority of people in America, which I think it's the job of government to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with its own economy, we're a capitalist economy. Yeah. Look at China right now. They're a capital communist economy. How do you think they're doing?
Oh, well, it's obvious they're doing a lot better than we are. They just gave us a gigantic loan, I mean, in their back pocket.
Here, bitch, we gotcha!
I don't know.
Better financially as a country?
Yes.
You mean as some sort of a disembodied entity with definition? Or the people as a whole, are people happy there? Are they healthy?
Oh,
is that what you mean by good?
That's a different definition. Okay.
Yeah.
Capitalist economy, yes, they're doing great. But as communists, I don't know. Like, capital communist economy is...
Let me see. I honestly don't know enough about communism or any of these terms to advocate for or against them. And I think that certain ideas work under certain circumstances, but when you're dealing with a country that is so large,
yeah,
or with circumstances that are so complex, there's all sorts of corruption going on anyways. Like, I kind of lost my train of thought. Back at the farm.
Yeah. What a totalitarian.
You actually said something that sparked interest in me. You said, or you guys were talking at first or at some point about how there is an imbalance in people's finances.
Yeah.
There's a very big gap between the poor and the rich, or the wealthy, if you will. And that reminded me of how you'd mentioned the Pope
I mentioned the Pope earlier.
Yeah, if you could go in a bit of, about that, you should talk about that.
Well, the, sorry guys, let me come up with the whole spiel again, let me remember how I said it. Well, the Pope himself is just, he's been coming up on the news quite a bit as far as speaking out for himself and not as what the church would want him to say. In a sense, he's talking about, you know, gay rights, abortion laws, and redistributing the wealth. In a sense, he's basically saying, you know, sure, I'm not for gay people getting married, but you know, if they want to get married, fine. You know, it's not like they're going to be discounted in any other way. You know. I'm going to show love for the next person equally as the gay person, you know? It doesn't matter if you were gay or
straight. It seemed like that wasn't much, from what you said earlier, from the short video that you showed me, it seemed as though gay rights weren't exactly like the
focus. It wasn't of, his focus point. Yeah.
It's not what he really
was focusing on. Yeah, it's like, sure, whatever, you know? They can do whatever the hell they want, you know? It's not affecting me. You know, I'll still show love for them equally.
Yeah. Perhaps the whole speech lent towards expressing one's faith in one's own life, and not projecting it upon others.
Well, in a sense,
which is something I think American Christians do a lot.
Expressing their faith,
in which way? Not, well, obviously, publicly. I mean, when I'm speaking in generalizations here, but I mean, there are pictures, like I said, every day on the news of people carrying signs that say...
Well, you're thinking of Fred Phelps things. And stuff like that, you know?
But I mean, the thing is, they say such hateful things, and they justify it at the end of every single sign with the name God. They say, this is what God wants, because this is what the church agrees with. And I think what the Pope is saying is
that doesn't matter
what the church agrees with. What matters is being a good person, and that's all Jesus taught.
Yeah,
that's all this true. Church is built on is helping
the next person,
people who are less fortunate than oneself.
And I agree with you, but like, I agree with you completely. And you know, people like, well, not people, but organizations like the whole organization that Fred Phelps is leading. You know, they have a wrong idea because they're talking about who Jesus hates or what God hates, you know, not necessarily being able to help everyone else out. They're saying you're going to make it to hell because you don't do this, this, and that, and you don't hate gay people.
I don't understand why it's every Christian's responsibility to save as many souls as they possibly can.
You know, but just
in these fundamentalist movements, that's, you know, if you're on the wrong path, I need to save you. I can't just watch you burn in hell. I have to save you. I don't see that as a message that Jesus would teach. I don't see it as a message of the Bible.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's you know, for me, I don't agree with a lot of what the Bible says. Sure, it has its own little points and plots and stuff like that. I agree that if someone's in need, you should help them. Not necessarily give them and spill everything that the Bible says and basically hit them with the Bible in the face and just like, here, read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
This is everything you need to know. Sure, whatever.
It's so often represented as absolute truth. When it's obvious to me, even when I was a younger child, when I believed, it was obvious to me that it wasn't literal truth. The Bible does not contain absolute fact,
but
rather moral truth. The kind
or,
of thing that...
Or faith, things that one may perceive if viewed in a manner that isn't literal. You know, because I think there are a lot of, like, examples or analogies in there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Metaphors.
Metaphors, yeah, similes.
Yeah, and I think, personally...
Poetry.
I think we're going to have to recite Sonnet 116 soon. But, no, like, the Pope, I think, right now, has his head on straight, you know? He knows what he's talking about, and he's doing it right, because... He's not putting off different, like, sure, he represents the church, but he's representing things that he thinks are important margins within factors that are coming up, like economy. He wants to redistribute the wealth. He wants the wealth distributed between the poor class and...
I'm sorry, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Does he say this is necessary for the world to continue turning? And does he say that this is a necessary thing for God's people to do?
No, it's not like that. I think what he says is that it's necessary for there to be a redistribution of wealth in order for the world to see a serious improvement in the way things are running, because otherwise this imbalance will continue to deteriorate our social...
Social structure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Saying it's the correct path. It's the right
The right path is to distribute the wealth, because if you haven't noticed, when the hell was it? Like, throughout history, you know, when economic wealth was distributed well, you know, people weren't fighting about, oh shit, well, I have so many workers and I have so many slaves and shit, you know. But when everyone else was living fine and they weren't struggling so much, you know, technology boomed and it thrived so much that they didn't have to worry about it until people got greedy and they started making money. And then from there, they started worrying less about technology advances more, and they worried more on who they could keep under them, you know, who they could stomp on the floor. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
You lost me just a bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Who was they?
They, the richer class, the people that ended up thinking about
money,
that more for themselves.
You're telling me the money was a creation by some clever people, some perhaps intelligent people, and it was used in order to create, I don't know, to give themselves an advantage, an upper hand, some leverage.
Yes. Because they didn't, like, back when, they traded instead of, you know.
Well, there's always been something that is in replacement of goods.
Yeah.
There's always been something that people consider valuable. Gold is an example.
There's always been an exchange of energy in some way, shape, or form.
There always has been an exchange, but, like, whether it was 5-10 buttons to...
A chicken,
whatever, you know? But that was, like, not necessarily an equal exchange, but if you needed it, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's what trading is, right?
Yeah, there's an exchange, yeah.
You could get a chicken for much more buttons or less.
You know, it's the first time I'm aware many cultures, both dead and still existing nowadays, have had some sort of a structure that basically made it impossible for there to be a totalitarian or a dictator of sorts, because many of their practices were set up in order to depower the growth of ego.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's like thinking to themselves, so, you know, I should go fuck my neighbor's wife and perhaps steal this or that and make him look like an asshole.
I've seen so many videos on YouTube that are, you know, there's these chemicals they put in our toothpaste that make us more subservient. I think before...
Where the fuck did that come from? I'm sorry. I'm not saying, like, we can't talk about that. That's interesting.
Well,
is that related?
I'm getting to it. It's because...
So
I think it's correlated to our subject. No, continue, sorry.
I think there is a sickness in America.
Yeah.
I think we want to find things wrong with ourselves. I think we're always treating ourselves for things maybe we don't have. I would suggest that before a redistribution of wealth occurs in America, there needs to be a raise in the average American's sense of self-worth.
Mm.
I would suggest that we need to...
We need to educate. People need to educate themselves before they could change, obviously.
But, I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be something as
drastic.
Absolute as education. there's a baser sense of intelligence. Before you're talking about what you know, you're talking about how you know it, perception, how you see the world, how you interpret it to yourself. And I think most Americans keep their head down and try not to look at the rest of the world and try not to think about what's going on around them and think more about what they want to happen and how they can make it happen.
Happy with their lives a lot of the time, too. You know, a lot of the times people won't go out and research because they don't feel the need to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Here, continue, guys. I have to take this call. I'm sorry.
So let me tell you a story. The other day I was at work, and I'm a lift operator up at the ski basin. And my buddy comes up to me and tells me near the end of the day that at his lift, this woman was sitting down on one of the lift chairs with her son or her grandchild. He's not really sure, right? And they're riding up, and the chair's probably like 10 feet above the ground. And the kid, slips out. He just slips out. And the woman freaks out and jumps off the chair after, like, hesitating for a moment and decides that that'd be better than seeing, like, whatever else would happen. And I just thought it was so funny to hear about that. You see a lot of funny stuff up at the ski basin.
We consider ourselves conscious beings in control of our own bodies, but we all have things we will forego all sense of self-protection for it.
And maybe she did make a conscious choice to jump out of the chair, though. She might have.
Yeah. I think our children are often...
Alright, guys, I got really good news. You guys remember our old good friend Shane?
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in to join the fight for information.
Oh, my. Lovely.
So we're gonna have more...
Even more fun.
Discussions and fights, and, you know, we're probably going to end up in big battle. It might come to blows here.
So, I was just saying, Pierce was talking about a story that he got told about a woman jumping off a ski lift after her son slipped off of it.
Oh, shit. When did this happen?
This happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Oh, fuck.
And I was just saying... Oftentimes, people think of their children higher than themselves because it's really self-preservation at its most basic, because that is your genetic information. That is the only way your children breeding is
that's
the only
way. That's
a pretty
cold way of looking at things. I'm not suggesting that's a conscious process.
I'm suggesting that is a subconscious process that affects our conscious mind.
Okay.
I'm suggesting that that is how immortality is attained in any species is self-protection, is protection of one's own genetic material.
Well, yeah, you're keeping the line going, you're keeping your genetic line going, which makes sense.
I will, however, say that unless one is consciously aware of something, it is not a part of their perceptual experience of reality, and so it does not exist for that person. So were that woman not thinking at any point in her own life, before that moment, or after that moment, or during that moment, that she needs to preserve her DNA or her offspring.
Well, not necessarily obviously.
Then it wouldn't.
It has a name.
It wouldn't be true, and it's.
I mean, this subconscious process. It has a name, and I would call it love.
Yeah,
but is there a certain way of explaining it? Sure, there's a definition for it in Webster's dictionary, but. What does it mean exactly?
You know, understanding it, like, if you could pin it down with the perfect amount of words, and they were just, like, just as descriptive and juicy as you needed them to be, you still wouldn't have a good definition, because that's tackling it mentally. That's like trying to catch a greasy panda bear.
Why do you love someone, Pierce? Why would you spend your life with somebody?
That's one form of love. Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, you have to think about it. Like, look at Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Look at the Moulin Rouge. But then you also have to...
That was a great movie.
That was a really good movie.
Absolutely good.
God. But anyways, I like Mark. Sure, I agree with him. Because it comes to the point where you have to start thinking of different things aside from yourself. You know, obviously, we don't have kids. You know, yeah. We don't know that shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, what the fuck is that dumbass doing anyways, you know? But until then, I think that with every parent comes a certain responsibility, you know? Whether you made that decision of becoming a parent, and or if it came by accident, you know, your child came by accident, you still tend to grow emotions toward it. The baby, called love.
Yeah, most often, but there are those crazy people out there who, you know...
I think...
Who are, like, stuck playing World of Warcraft and forget to feed their children. Or something.
Like, fuck you, child, go fend for yourself.
No, I'm not even kidding. Apparently, there are several incidents of that actually taking place. You can look that shit up. People playing, maybe not World of Warcraft, but I'm willing to bet there are at least a couple. But just games in general, like online games, they just fucking forget all about their children.
But it's like, Mom, I'm going to play with knives.
Those are definitely the exceptions. Yeah. But as far as, like, what love is concerned, like, what is...
It's a conscious choice. I mean, you choose to love someone. But it requires previous experience. It requires you trusting that person. It requires things like
knowledge of that person. How is it a conscious choice?
That sounds very deterministic. That sounds to me...
But no, you love someone you know.
How is it a conscious choice, though?
Because...
Like,
you have to get to know somebody to love them. So, in other words, you have to choose to spend time with them. You have to choose to learn about them.
Love,
you have to choose to understand them.
Love can
be a
verb.
That's what love is.
Love can be a verb, and very often is. But I don't think you need to spend a lot of time with a person or really, like, know their, like, the details of their life in order to love that person. I certainly don't think that's necessarily true.
I think love itself would be a cognitive trait. Because not necessarily... Alright, watch. Pierce.
Yes.
When we first met, did I love you? Fuck no.
No.
No. You know? But you learn to love the person.
As
because
you
spend time with the person. Not necessarily...
Have you ever heard the expression, I love you... Not for your strengths, but for your weaknesses, for your faults.
Yeah, I think that person's full of shit.
I don't.
No, we talked about this last time, man. You're able to accept that person for their faults.
And that is what love is.
No.
Yes,
I don't
love
think that,
is accepting
when you say
someone.
Is, you're, you mean equal. I'm just like, I'm not
suggesting that is all
okay.
That love.
Yeah.
Is.
And I'm really like, I'm not trying to
when
be
I say
really
that,
pedantic.
I mean only
right?
That
no.
That's what it is in our minds. That's what it is to ourselves, is understanding somebody. To love somebody, you have to know somebody.
Okay.
Haven't you ever heard the term of love is blind? Not term, but quote, love is blind.
In other words,
you go into that relationship regardless of their traits, you know, regardless of whether
I don't think
they're
regardless is the right word. It's,
you're well,
you're
supposed
to their faults. You're blind to their bad traits.
Exactly. You're able to. You have to accept them regardless of their faults or of their, you know, gains, whether they're good or bad. You learn to accept a person for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's a cognitive trait that you learn to love the person.
I have another perspective with which one can approach that situation.
Go neutral for me, just so we could start. Just kidding.
All right. How about this? Like, what if love was actually a matter of maintaining a certain state of being, irregardless of the circumstances that surround you? Irregardless of who you happen to be around at that moment in time. And I'm just saying that, I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's, I think that's another version of it, another possibility. Because you can go about your whole day being in a loving state of being, loving everybody, every stranger, every person you come in contact with and everything.
There are multiple definitions, I think, for what love.
Well, I mean, you could have definitions of love.
Yeah.
Different categories of love. You know, as a friendship, there is a certain category of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Comes
everybody, you can find me on Urban Dictionary at the username fuckpoodles453 urban bang. I'm just kidding.
And it comes with a definition, first in line, called love. Yeah. What is love? Anal. That was your fucking thing last time. It was just, all right. How do you define love, Pierce? Anal sex.
That's not what I said.
Close enough.
Okay, love and anal sex were not in the same sentence at any point in time last time. I'm just going to
The next thing that I was expecting is, all right, another definition of love, guys, is ass to mouth. No, that's one thing.
You actually brought that one up.
I did.
Just going to say
this time. This time.
Mark's just like, I'm feeling a little.
It's like, really? How do you do it?
I just.
What do you think?
I want to bring it back to the sense that people don't think enough of themselves.
Yes.
People do not love themselves enough. And that is, I think, a symptom of capitalism more than anything else in this country. I think people find things wrong with themselves and decide, I have to go out and buy a cream or a cure for it. I have to go buy a new TV to make my life better. I have to go buy things.
Well, then we're jumping into the subject of, let's go back to the great movie, Fight Club.
I think there's something to what you're saying right now.
I mean, is that better? Is social deconstruction better?
There's certainly some truth to what you're saying right now.
Yes.
This relationship between capitalism and one's self-esteem. Because, I mean, you can obviously see that people place a high value on objects and material possessions because they're literally trading their irreplaceable time for tokens, basically. Mm-hmm. And then they go and trade those tokens for stuff that they can spend their time on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the focus of their living. And that's certainly not for everybody. But that certainly happens to be the pattern that I see. And does it make people happy? No.
There's another form of capitalism, and that is the successful form.
The what?
The successful form. There are far too few people that make it to the top and actually make money. We're talking about the rich here.
That's the 1%.
Right. Well, they decide not to fix things, but spend money on things in a different way, investing in what they believe in. And that creates, hypothetically, more effective businesses or more effective business strategies, because the smart people who actually made it to the top
do they
kind of
share?
Economically evolved to be where they are, is a theory I have heard before. I don't like it that much, but it makes sense because you have to know a lot about finance to make money in a capitalistic environment. And these people do, and that's why they go to the top. Now, the problem is some of them get too greedy and start actually committing federal crimes and tricking the stock market.
Would you say the person that the rich 1% do, would you say they love themselves?
I think maybe it's a example of opposites. I think they love themselves far too much. And I'm not suggesting that's all of the rich people. Not suggesting I know how you morally are when you're rich. I'm just suggesting the average rich person that you know of, the fat cat who is constantly going out every night and drinking. I think so.
That's not self-love.
I think that is. I think it's a form of gluttony.
That's no, because gluttony is not love. Those are two different things.
That's kind of like being gluttonous is loving oneself far too much.
No.
There is a difference between loving oneself and being self-centered.
Love is a healthy thing.
Yes.
Love is something that brings discordant energy into harmony, into balance, and is also a very healing energy in any sense of the term.
No matter how pure something is, it can be exploited for evil things. And what I mean when I say,
you hear that, virgins?
Self-love.
I'm just kidding.
Is the same thing as gluttony. I only mean,
well, I think
that when people spend that much money, what they're spending it on is the things they really, really want. You don't spend $100 on a bottle of champagne unless you like it. You don't spend $80 on beluga caviar unless you like it. And you don't spend that money on yourself.
Unless you want to be a dick.
Unless you love yourself.
Let's go kill whales and make... Let's make...
Because you say...
Okay, yeah, let me...
These things that have to die in order for me to get these luxury items don't matter.
Allow me to explain
Because
myself.
All that matters is my happiness and myself. And the people I love's happiness, like my wife and my children. These are the people who get spoiled in movies.
Allow me to explain
and
examples.
No, I heard about
And that's what
here.
I'm saying.
You can say that you love yourself and live a very luxurious lifestyle. And luxury isn't necessarily the one and only sign that one has fallen into a trap, if you will, along the road to self-love.
Yes, I know.
But when you buy yourself an expensive bottle of champagne and you can afford it and that's what you truly desire, yeah, that's love. When you're doing what truly excites you, that's love. When you're doing something that harms you physically, mentally, emotionally, or in the long run, and you're calling it love, I think that is a form of rationalization. And I think that it is also...
I would agree entirely.
It's deluded. It's deluded thinking.
However,
deluded, I think that's the wrong word. Off base.
But somebody can think that to be true. Meth addicts right now believe that smoking meth is what they need to be better. And that can happen even without drugs.
Oh, would it be because they're justifying their own self? They're making justifications.
The truth is they do want it. You can want something that isn't healthy for you. You can want something that isn't in alignment with love, self-love. But to call it love just because you really want it and giving it... To say that I'm giving this to myself and because I'm giving it to myself, that's a sign of self-love, that's not true.
No. And I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that when somebody goes overboard and does it every single night, when a meth head tweaks out for 7 weeks at a time, that is loving oneself too much. And I don't
mean no, that's not
positive
even love
emotions.
To begin with.
That's just an addiction, man.
Emotions.
Yeah, that's not, like, love has nothing to do.
And that's what I'm saying is...
I'm sorry.
What is it? Is it cruel to oneself to deny oneself something one wants because, you know, it'll be better
for you? No, I don't think that's cruel.
I don't think it is either.
No.
But I do think it is kind to give oneself what one wants.
Well,
when one wants.
To receive one's, like, to...
That sounds like gratification of the ego to me.
Yes, and too much of it can be very bad, and that's what I call gluttony.
But what would you say would be taking in part more, the id ego or the superego within this?
Or, see, I'm not too familiar with those.
All right, the id is your ultimate bad self.
Okay.
Your ego is your neutral state, and your superego is your ultimate good self, and your ego
now
is neutral.
Your ultimate good self, is that synonymous with self in regard to, like, how Hinduism or Buddhism or Taoism would refer to self? Or is that, the Atman? Do you know what I mean?
No.
Or is that...
Like, you're... All right, let's...
Like, the observer, what part of that structure?
Kind of,
is there... Yes. Does it even fit in there? Is this something else?
This is something else.
Okay,
you know,
gotcha.
Sigmund Freud came up
gotcha.
With this. You know, it's the id-ego and the superego.
Okay.
Your superego is your ultimate good self.
Okay.
You know,
so
it's the...
every good decision you could ever make.
Yes,
for the rest
you know,
of your
and
life.
You're the nice person. You're just, like,
so
the
see,
really
that's what I would
fucked
say,
up kind of thing.
That's what I would say your ego attached to when you become one of these gluttonous
but,
people.
But, wait... You also have id, which
right,
is your,
which
ultimate,
your ultimate
bad
self.
And then you have your ego, which is your neutral state, regulating both of these.
I don't believe people think it is wrong to overeat when they overeat, or to be gluttonous when they are being gluttonous. I think they believe it.
What about
is
somebody
a good
smoking
thing.
A cigarette? who knows that it's bad for them, but does it anyways and seeks to hide the fact that they are in a negative cycle, if you will.
And they are ashamed of showing it to others, yes.
I personally smoke cigarettes, and I personally know just how...
You're so smart.
Carcinogenous they
You're
are.
You're so smart. Why are you smoking frajos, my man?
Because.
They turn up this certain
I'm
je ne sais quoi.
I'm too kind to myself, Pierce.
I love myself.
Bullshit.
Don't feed me that bullshit.
Hold
up. You're denying me before I even have a chance to explain myself, Pierce. You don't understand. When I say I'm too kind.
Yeah, I just like I already explained my stance in this position.
Go for it.
Okay.
When I'm saying I'm too kind to myself.
Yeah.
What I mean is, I know how bad the cigarettes are for me. I'm very mean to myself when I smoke cigarettes because that's how bad they are for me. But I also know how much I want to smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
And I decide to shorten my lifespan or endanger my life, even though I know just how bad it is.
Have you, either of you, heard...
Just for the momentary pleasure of smoking a cigarette. I'm too kind to my present self, even though I'm mean to my future self. And it's a form of kindness.
I think it is also a form of self-torture or self-abuse
no,
to your present self.
No,
it is
not
well. But
consciously
hear me out on this.
Bad. I don't know I'm doing it. Every time I light up a smoke, I don't think,
Yeah, you're not doing it with that intention in mind.
Cigarette.
Yeah.
This feels
nice. You're not thinking of that. I was going to ask you, though, have you heard of the idea that every decision people make is basically motivated by the following, and that is that... We and everybody, there are no exceptions to this, everybody acts towards or is motivated to move towards that which feels good or pleasures them and move away from pain. Away from pain and towards pleasure.
So what is masochism?
What they interpret to be more painful and what they interpret... to be more pleasurable, more beneficial. Not to say that it actually is, but that...
I've heard masochists tell me, or tell people, that they don't do what they do because they think it feels good. They do what they do because it feels so bad, and then when they go back to feeling normal, that feels so much better.
Hmm.
So in other words, they hurt themselves. On purpose, and they know they're hurting themselves. They go towards pain.
They perceive that choice.
Fish hooks through their lips.
Do you get what I'm saying? That they perceive that choice to... You don't need to agree with me. I'm not saying, but I'm asking you that according to this idea, which I happen to think is, correct. Do you think that person is making that decision, that masochistic decision, because they perceive that choice and those actions to be more beneficial to them in the long run than what the alternative would be?
I would say no. I would say that it's part of that
you
culture
think they're intentionally...
that one intentionally seeks one's own destruction. And that is not universal within masochism, but I would say that is a big, large number of them believe that what they're doing is bad for themselves in the long run, and that it's not a good thing, and that they're hurting themselves and killing themselves.
Think about, well, what Pierce you said a while ago, it's if you put yourself through hell, you'd be able to find some sort of justification that comes with it. Like, look at Siddhartha. Starves himself in order to reach, what is it called?
Nirvana.
Nirvana, yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, starves himself, puts himself through hell.
Which means freedom, mind
yes.
you guys.
Yeah.
For those of you out there.
It's like, no, isn't that a band?
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. No, I'm just kidding. But no, he, puts himself through hell in order to find Nirvana.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily good, but it isn't necessarily bad.
Oh, I see.
What?
You just, like, you brought it full circle, and it's, I understand what you're saying now.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, explain. You continue. No, I want to hear you. I think I get where you're going, and it...
Yeah, tell me, and then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, basically, the idea that Siddhartha had good intentions at heart or in mind when he decided to starve himself for weeks on end and decided to expose his body to really extreme conditions, hot, cold, dehydration, starvation, etc. But in the end, did he reach nirvana, enlightenment, as a result of those experiences? Directly? No. According to the story, no. But I'm sure he learned a lot from it. And I'm sure, you know, at the end of the day, it was what he wanted to do.
Yes, exactly.
And No,
I agree with you. And that's exactly what I was thinking about. Because you also have to look at different stories. Siddhartha puts himself through hell, starves himself, different conditions. Who else does that? Jesus. You know, he goes to the desert, doesn't eat, drink, or whatever, you know, and he gets tempted by the devil for 40 days. You know, mm-hmm. That's why we have Lent.
Lent?
Lent.
What is Lent?
Lent is a 40-day...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, and Fridays, you know, you try to restrain from eating meat. You know, you eat fish instead
pussies.
And stuff like that.
My gosh, hey. I've been vegetarian for, like, more than a year. And
it's like you guys ain't got shit on me. No, that's the thing. You're down-putting certain things that you love to eat.
You might stop masturbating for 40 days.
Don't take a shower for a while.
Go without. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah, you know, but you let go of certain things, and at the beginning of Lent, you make a pact to yourself that for these 40 days that you're not going to drink soda, or you're not, you know, smoke.
I see a difference between Lent and smoking, though, for example,
mm-hmm.
or Siddhartha's actions. You know, that is that, well, I guess I see a similarity between, like, Siddhartha's actions and this idea of Lent, but smoking cigarettes, for example, like, Lent is this idea, so far as I'm aware, so far as you've explained to me, that you put off something that is self-gratifying or something that you really enjoy in order to learn some lesson or appreciate it more in the end. Am I right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people that I know would give up smoking for 40 days.
Okay.
Because that's what they
it's
do,
a form
and they
of
know
sacrifice.
It's bad. Yes, it's a form of sacrifice.
But they're sacrificing something that's bad for them.
Yes, and they know it's bad for them. And, like,
but when Buddha sacrifices food, that is something that
is good for him. Yes.
His body. But he doesn't have his body in mind when he's thinking to himself, I'm searching nirvana.
But that's the thing. Like, there is a difference between us and the two stories between Buddha and Jesus. You know, they had similar things to reach nirvana. And or had this certain epiphany that comes through them. And for us, we're just basically, I agree, we're kind of pussying out and just kind of recreating that story.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that have given up smoking because of this 40-day period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they realize, oh shit, you know, I haven't smoked for 40 days. I feel a lot better. Fuck you guys. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start running. I'm going to start
doing things. Which is really cool.
Yes. You know, and this is what it's supposed to teach. You know, a lot of people don't take the right message with these 40-day periods. You know, some people stop drinking for their whole lives within these 40-day periods. But some people just go back to it even worse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it all just depends on how well your mind is, you know, and how willing you are to give up
to
certain things. Yes, to change for the better.
Agreed.
You know.
Trust life.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the old, make room for the new.
Yeah. You know. But, go ahead.
Yeah, that's something I've been feeling lately, something I've been desiring, wanting, is to let go of this old world and to just allow it to collapse, to let go, to surrender. and to let something new unfold.
Well, you know, in order for something to rise, everything else has to fall. And like we were talking about Fight Club a while ago that we started it, I know yeah. certain people are just going to hate it. But, you know, like he says, you know, in order to... What else does he say? He says self-improvement is masturbation.
Yeah.
You know, he says so many different things. And in a sense, it kind of makes sense.
What does that mean?
Self-improvement is masturbation.
Like self...
All you're doing... When you're making yourself look better.
Look better or be
is
better?
Is making yourself feel
like,
better.
Okay. Personal development or like just looks? Appearances.
Would you say you connect with yourself when you masturbate?
Yeah.
How?
You're...
You're the biggest thing on this fucking planet, man. You're just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going, she loves me. She's in love with me. Or he, depending on who it is.
No, but I think well, for one, I'm definitely an advocate of masturbation. I think it's a healthy thing. I think it's a good thing. Maybe not for everybody. I mean, whatever. Not everybody likes walking. And to you, I say, get the fuck up, fat ass. Try it out.
Yeah.
If you haven't masturbated in a while, too, like, fuck. I'm just kidding.
That's when terms come in.
You know what I mean?
So, like, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. We got a little sidetracked there. I'm sorry. I don't... Yeah.
Fine, what were you talking about?
Self-improvement is masturbation. When you make yourself better according to what society demands, which is really the only standard for better or worse in the terms of humanity.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Because when you say... I think something. You're saying society has programmed me to think something because you can't grow up outside of society.
Not true.
That's what Fight Club is
not
about.
True.
Yes, it is. You
it
have
is.
To grow up in society. People raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. It's not
yeah,
one
but
person.
What you
it's
think?
Not, you're not
Hold
just
on.
You. You're the opinions
you
that have amassed.
You are correct. I am not just me in the sense that I am not just my ego. I'm not just this
no,
body.
Just
but a person can find or run into inspiration that is in no way, shape, or form connected in any obvious way to the circumstances of their life. They can receive downloads. That's just one way of describing it. You can get in touch with some crazy shit. And fuck, you can write a book about fucking, well, green,
okay.
gargling.
I understand.
Like,
your experiences make you, as a person.
No, that is deterministic.
Every
That's
deterministic. Single second, you're a different person than the second before.
Your experiences can be shaped by you.
Yes.
Yes,
and
you
they
can
make
create
you.
Them.
In other words, you can self-create yourself.
Yes, okay.
But everything you are is based on things that have happened to you.
But to say
whether
that,
they were self-driven
okay.
or not.
But to say that you are, but to say that you are the one driving it, is to say that one's existence is more important.
Driving? I'm talking about the world.
To
I'm
say
talking
that,
about
no, no, no,
everything that goes up to make.
Dude,
the
hold
reality.
On. We've, like, lost train. Because, like, if I'm not listening to you, I need to start. If you're not listening to me, we need to start. Because, like, you can't have a conversation. If, you know?
Okay. All right, continue, guys.
I was just saying here that to say that one is capable of creating their experiences means that one's self is foundational, is first and foremost more... important or imperative in the process of self-definition than one's experiences. That's a lot of jargon, but I'm, like, looking for the easiest
no.
way to describe myself, and that's just what came
I
to mind.
I do not agree. I do not agree. A butterfly flaps its wings in Japan, and a hurricane hits the west coast of the Americas. It's everything that the world is goes up to making what the world is every single second.
Well, then you come to the point that...
for billions of years.
Yeah, but then you come to the point of everything happens for a reason.
Not necessarily.
That's kind of what you're saying.
No,
everything
what I'm
works
saying...
in sync.
No. What I'm saying is that as humans, we are part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. And exactly. That's why it is the world and our experiences that define us. Because every single consciousness could mirror someone else's. Have you seen twins? They think almost identically. Sometimes. Okay. And sometimes they don't. Because every single consciousness has potential for self-development, but is also developed based on the experiences that occur around it.
I don't think twins are an example of that. I think twins that act more like one another are more an example of... And there are just different ways of looking at it. Like, to say that something is absolutely true is to say that you're full of shit, because you don't fucking know.
Well, if you think about it, all right, put it in this perspective. The world works as us, you know. Let's say Earth is a human being, and we are the cells. Like Marx said, we work not for ourselves, but for a bigger cause. Let's call us single-celled organisms, you know. And in order for us to make the world go round, in order for it to work, again, yes, I agree that we are part of something bigger.
A larger whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order for the Earth to work and to keep on moving, the rest and every little single-celled organism has to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Not fuck itself up. Because right now, if you think about it, the way government is going, the way...
It's
you
like
know,
cancer.
Yes, exactly. It's like cancer. It's like HIV. It's like fucking AIDS.
Yeah.
Right now, the Earth has fucking gonorrhea, AIDS, gonoherpasyphilates, guys.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Herpagondasyphilates.
And it's all from human-on-human
it's
interaction.
It's all from humans. You know?
And it's not just humans.
But that's...
It's humans that believe in different things. It is the war of ideologies, and it is culminating right now because technology is culminating right now. We're getting to a point where we can destroy entire worlds with the technology we contain.
Yes, but would you agree that it's good to be not on the same point? Would you say that it's good to have different ideas and different opinions about things to come to a certain sync of what everything should be a part of?
There's only one opinion I care about. Anybody can have any other opinion. That opinion is that it's wrong to kill anybody.
Mm.
Yes.
And it's not true that a lot of people believe this. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
I don't want to say it's part
it's...
of the Quran, but it is a belief of many Muslims that killing an infidel, someone who is truly against their cause, even if it's another terrorist...
Is wrong.
Is right.
Is right.
Is will get them into heaven. We'll get them sent into virgin.
Whoa!
That's
no.
what that's
crazy
what a terrorist is. That's in the Quran.
I go blow some people up, and
that's
that just
a, that's
makes
in
everything
the Quran.
Cool and radical.
Quran does not teach that.
It is
Quran.
In the Quran.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
In a war.
I have
in
the Quran.
In a war, you are against infidels. You are against people who are against God. And
no.
Killing a servant, someone who is
you
against
mean
God,
like
is justified
jihad.
In the Quran. It does say that. There is a passage in that. There is ambiguity at the very least. That is why there are these secular religions
okay.
that are going to be
all right,
great
would
terrorists.
You say, hold on. Let me ask you this. All right, misinterpretation of the Bible and the Quran. Okay? Jihad, what does it mean?
Holy war.
A holy war? Let's look it up right now. Pierce, would you do the honor of helping me out? Because misinterpretations of religious...
I don't know what jihad means, actually.
Yeah, that's why. You know, it isn't unnecessarily a holy war, because that's what you're led to think. Because
there's,
the Quran and...
There's a simple answer. This and that is that the terrorists in our world come from
what?
Secular religions.
The very idea of
whether
terrorism.
They are Christianity based or whether they are based in Muslim, and there are more terrorists that come from religions based in Islam. That is a absolute fact.
All right, would you say that they're misinterpreting
absolutely,
the Quran?
Absolutely, I would suggest that it wasn't written to be taken that
because
way.
Because the Quran itself...
I would suggest that the Bible was not written to be taken that way, but the problem with absolute moral truth, and that is what Bible or any religion is
preaches about
is if it's a religion, what it is it says this is the right way to live.
The Quran teaches about forgiveness.
And, right. And I would suggest, Salahuddin, I would also suggest that they are misinterpreting it.
Pierce, hold on, go ahead.
Jihad. Among Muslims, a war or struggle against unbelievers, non-believers.
Yes, and that's true. But the call of jihad is also like trying to make people believers, not necessarily putting them through terror and
make
shit.
Make people believers.
No, I thought jihad was just a matter of like, you can have a jihad against a country, against
yes,
a war,
exactly.
Against an idea.
Because
just like,
they're against
I'm
idealistic
sorry.
Figures.
I misrepresented myself. I said there was one thing I cared about, and that was that people don't believe killing people is right. It's wrong. There's two things. And that,
what about
the,
raping
the,
people?
The second one would be...
You're all in for it. Let's grab Mark. No, I'm just kidding. Continue, Mark. Go ahead.
The second one would be allowing people to live the way they want to live.
Yes.
No matter what. That means making somebody believe something is wrong, even in the sense of just advertising for it, I think. I think people have the right to decide their own destiny. And standing in the way of that is standing in the way of God, whoever he is, or whichever religion is correct about him.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that? That's very interesting, and I agree with you entirely,
yeah.
But it's interesting that that would come from your mouth.
Continue.
Well, people often mistake me for an atheist.
Pierce.
When I...
I'm kidding, go ahead. Go ahead, continue.
I'm an agnostic. It means I don't know the nature of our existence. I don't know if we are holy. And the evidence is there on both sides.
But you do believe that there is a greater cause?
No.
That we are playing
a part of? I believe there
of.
Could be. I believe there also could not be. It is central to my belief that I just don't know. I'm a human being. I don't possess the capacity to know the nature of our universe on a galactic scale or in the nature of its creation. I don't know.
There's an idea that there's a quality among geniuses to be able to hold conflicting ideas in mind at the same time without having them, well, conflict with one another.
And I would suggest the opposite, having ideals so strongly that they conflict with other possible outcomes is a trademark of ignorance.
Really?
It's true.
But, like, geniuses themselves throughout history have been able to... do this, to have conflicting ideas.
No, I'm not... saying the opposite.
Oh, what are you saying?
I'm saying allowing one ideal to encapsulate your mind.
Oh, it's the trademark of ignorance, yes.
It's the trademark.
Yes, agreed, yes, because it blinds you. And you let that idea become almost a part of your identity, and you defend that idea as though it is your identity. And if that idea is at risk, then you feel as though you are in harm's way, and you become defensive.
And I do want to mention...
And that's kind of... that's... Religion is...
Yeah. it's a good example. But I also want to say something. Where was I?
You want to mention something?
Yes.
You were in the room, Mark.
Your mind was somewhere else.
You were talking about a dimensional drift. You were talking about... Yep.
No,
that was
no,
it.
No. The,
Lose yourself in train of thought.
Oh!
Stargate.
I got it. So, remember when I was talking about how ideals encapsulating one's mind is the trademark of ignorance?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, even though I know this... to be true within myself. And when I say I know it, I mean, it's a truth I rely on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no wish to be ignorant myself. I am sure there are ideals within myself that corrupt me to think that other ideals that people bring to me are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the precarious nature of it, is that you do have to hold certain things as true.
You have to get it. You have to. I think it,
because every time I jump up, I know I'm going to fall down because gravity exists. This is something I take for granted, even if it's not true, even if somebody has lied to me along the way. It's something I will always take for granted because there are bases I need to relate other things to within my own mind. That's what ideas are.
Sort of like book tabs.
Because this is true, this is true. Because this is true, this is true. A to B, B to C. This is a logical thing.
But there is a danger. There is a danger in that too. If, like, say you're trying to build a house of cards, well, these ideas are sort of like cards. And if you have faulty beliefs and you're trying to build a house of cards, your house of cards is going to fall.
Which is why it is necessary to be able to sort of build two houses of cards at the same time. It's to say, good. This is possible, this
yeah,
is possible.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say. It's important to be able to be skeptical, to allow yourself to maintain a state of skepticism, which isn't gullibility, it's not cynicism, it's somewhere in between, really.
Absolutely, I would consider it an academic quality.
But I also have to think, well, like for me, I think it's really important for you to be able to accept other ideas and possibilities because...
Or play with them.
Exactly.
In the event that you can't know. You won't know until you're experiencing it from inside the box.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now. Because so many people keep in one mind because they misrepresent things, obviously. A lot of people have misrepresented Islam.
Yeah.
Again, going back to the Quran, Islam teaches about forgiveness.
But I would suggest also that a lot of people have believed misrepresentations of Islam.
Yes.
Which is not true of Christianity. As far as ideals go, as far as morality goes.
Yeah.
You're saying that Christians haven't misinterpreted the ideas of morality that were put forth by...
No, I'm suggesting that morality varies much more in Islamic religions than in Christian religions. There are very vast differences within what is morally acceptable.
I think you see some extremes, most certainly.
No, I mean,
well, you have extreme. Well, you do have extreme.
Yeah, I was just going to say you certainly see extremes in Islam, but you definitely see some funky shit in terms of Christian morality across the board or
absolutely.
Other Western religions. I mean, I'm not just going to, like, pick on Christianity or anything.
I got to go back to that, you know.
Good Judaism. Judaism. No, but, like, that's the thing. People misrepresent things. Like, Christianity, you know, popes way back in the damn day had wives, you know, and every priest had a wife, you know, and that should be okay because then it stops all kinds of different
people
shit
from raping
happening.
Boys
yes.
and...
Yes, you know, and right now, Christianity thinks that having a wife for popes and for priests, you know, takes them away from their...
religious duty to God.
Yes, from, yeah, their
and
commitment to God.
That is way back when a belief that the female sex is
evil.
Superior.
You know what's interesting about that idea?
What?
Is under...
Go for it.
If it's true, if that's true, and I'm not saying it is, in fact, I'm not even really willing to... Okay, anyways, if that's true, if it's true that women distract men from having a connection to God, then that's also to say that all of these Christians or whatever religion you happen to abide by who are searching for God, who happen to be married or have a family, are already at a disadvantage, if you will. Not to say that it's a competition, you know, like a race or something like that. Who can get back to Faja faster than the next one? But and yet there are other lessons shared throughout religion about family values and about taking care of one's family. And I certainly don't think it distracts a person, you know, from seeking God. I think like anything, you can get distracted with anything.
Huh. No, well, distraction comes in every sense of the way. Because right now, Mark could get distracted with his lips.
Yeah.
I could get distracted with waiting for Shane.
Yeah.
You know, but back to the point, you keep you keep your head on straight and you believe what you believe with being able to accept different things. Again, there are Christians that believe that the earth is 2,000 years old. There are cases like that. There are numerous cases, which is stupid because they're not open.
There's a museum of creationism. It explains how it could possibly be real based on the science of the Bible.
Yeah, but then what the fuck, you know, fucking Noah's Ark is older than fucking 2,000 years old and that shit's in the Bible, which means that they're fucking stupid. You know, you have to be willing to accept different opinions. Here, let me... Was that you?
No, I think that's just so weird.
Oh. But, again, like, Christians believe... Well, some of them do. 2,000 years old. The Quran teaches about sciences, too.
Mm.
You know, they had one of the biggest libraries. Because they took Greek teachings and stuff like that. They believe in learning, not just you learn for the sake of being faithful to God. You want to learn different things. That's what Quran.
You know, teaches. I don't want to give the idea that I don't like Muslims.
You're against Muslims, aren't you?
I have Mark. A friend.
Yes,
you're actually, a fucking Muslim hating ass.
Friends. One of my best friends is from India, and he's a Muslim, and he has explained a lot about Islam to me. But the problem I would have with any modern religion is the ease with which it can be used for bad.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You misinterpret
To manipulate
things.
People.
To manipulate people, how easily people are manipulated, and people in Islamic faith.
And they call them religious leaders. But they're not.
No.
They're actually crazy fundamentalist Islamic...
jerks.
Yeah.
Well, then you come into the sake of cult leaders and shit like that. Look at what the fuck's his name? Helter Skelter. What the fuck?
Don't know who Helter Skelter is.
Charles Manson. There you go.
Guys, I have an idea.
Go for it.
Let's bring the word cult back to the good team. Let's make it a good word. We'll talk about starting cults all the damn time.
Let's reclaim it.
Yeah, we'll be like
bringing it back.
I want to start a skydiving cult. Who wants to fucking join me? We're not gonna kill ourselves jumping out of planes. No, we're gonna go fucking have a good time.
See,
and it's good. We're just gonna call it a cult.
Doesn't work because
cult
has too many negative associations.
No, yes, exactly. When the hell have you heard about a good cult? Unless we're starting with
that. Awkward. That was a good
personality.
Silence. There you go. See? Nowhere. You don't know. All you've heard about is Skull and Bones. You've heard of the Masons. You've heard of different shit.
Yeah.
The KKK. What the fuck does all
that
mean?
Not really reputed to have helped too many people.
World demise, you know. Keeping the class going, and that's just a white race.
Yeah. Well, it seems we've solved that one, guys. Not the best idea of the day.
No, it's not. So, we're going to start a cult. Wait for it. It's a good cult.
And that's, of course, that's what they all say, though.
Exactly.
They're all telling them, well, this is a good idea. Nobody's like, I'm hopping on this train because I think it's going to fuck up my life. Sounds good to me.
Gotta head back home pretty soon.
You gotta head back home?
Well, we've been talking for how long?
An hour and 13 minutes.
Damn, this is good.
Yeah,
pretty
this
good.
Is good, guys. Well,
you know, we could just call this one quits and then start back up. So just make a whole new podcast with...
We will. Mark, it's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you
very
much.
I'm glad arguing with you. It's always good to be argued, you know, to be argued and argued with.
Mm-hmm.
I'll disagree with you anytime.
You know, fuck you, man.
For those listeners out there who happen to be flying in airplanes or under the water in submarines or know a thing or two about jiu-jitsu, I think all of you guys should give us the heads up that you've listened to the whole podcast. And if you have or listened this far, why don't you leave a comment or just some kind of association. Say unicorn hot sauce. Yeah. Leave a comment that says unicorn hot sauce if you have listened to this podcast, because I'm curious, and play with me, and I'll play with you. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. So, let's have fun
unless
together.
Unless you want it to be.
Yeah, and you'd have to be of the opposite gender and good looking. Just saying.
That's true. All right, guys. Well, have a good night.
Yeah, signing off.
We appreciate you. Love you.
Bye-bye.
See you later.